Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am Pastor Anidra. I am Cornerstone's family pastor, and I am going to continue our series on Bridging the Gap this morning. We've been talking about this series and how God wants to heal our broken relationships. Last week, Pastor Brandon shared about the offender, the role of the offender, and that there was a breach of trust in the relationship, and it's the role of the offender to make restitution with the person that they've offended. Now, if you're like me, I would be like, oh, well, this is going to be really easy because they're the ones that offended us. They're the ones that crossed the line, so they do all the work. Well, you're wrong, just like I was. And we have a responsibility as well. We have a job to do as well as the offended person. I think this message is very timely, and I think it's very important that we start talking about this because I personally believe that we spend a lot of time wounded and broken when we serve a God who is a healer and a restorer. And I can say we to that because that was me. I spent a lot of time, too much time, walking around broken and wounded when I serve a God that is a healer and a restorer. And he's willing to do that if I just say yes to the process. And I said yes to the process, and I'm so glad that I did because now I can experience joy and freedom in my relationships instead of fear. And I believe that God wants to do that in each and every one of you this morning as well. Well, most of you know from my times of sharing with you before that I am a PK. That means I am a pastor's kid. And 39 next week, Monday, I forget how old I am, which is crazy. But 39 years ago, that meant that we lived and breathed everything church. That means it was a day of rest and you weren't going to rest anywhere but on that pew all day. And it was my life. It was my normal. I thought that was, you know, what you do. I didn't realize that that wasn't normal until I saw that people get out of church at 12:30 p.m. and not a.m. And that lunch didn't have to turn into dinner, that people get three meals a day because they leave out of church at a decent time. But, hey, I wouldn't have it any other way. I think I turned out great, don't you? But because I lived and breathed church, I observed a lot of things. At a very young age, I developed the love of people watching. Anybody like people watching? Me too. I can go to the mall and I can just watch people all day instead of shop. And not because I have discipline in that area, but because I know I can shop online. So I'll just choose to watch while I'm there. But one of the things that I observed while I was in the church growing up was the relationships. I watched how people interacted with each other. I watched how they treated each other. I watched the state of those relationships and if they were healthy or not. And there were some very good relationships that came out of those congregations. But unfortunately, there were a lot of relationships that damaged people and they were unhealthy. And it's not because of anything the church did or anything like that. It was just because they didn't handle it correctly. And I believe that God wants to teach us today how to handle those relationships because maybe you're just like me. And because I saw that, I made a mental note to myself at a very young age, I am not doing that. I'm going to distance myself from that. I see how it affected my family. I see how it affected other people's families. And I note to self, we're going to put up that wall. And if you're going to, I have a story in which you'll hear later on and today as I share. But if I think the thing about this, about hearing each other's stories, that we get to learn from one another. And if you can learn one thing from me, that is not the answer to do like this to people, to distance yourself. Because those experiences help you to grow. And I know that we do that. We tell ourselves, you know, we want to protect ourselves. It's a defense mechanism. We want to guard our hearts. And those relationships that we've experienced or those things that we've seen, it made us make a note to say, I will not let my guard down so quick the next time. And that's not the answer. That's not the answer. We need to allow God to show us how to handle offense so that we can grow and that we can heal. And the answer is not distancing ourselves because God created us for community. We need each other. We need someone to share life with, someone to encourage us, someone to lift our arms up when we grow weary. We need people in our lives. And we're human, and even with our best intentions, I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to offend you because I'm human. But the answer isn't to do like this to me or to anyone else, but to open yourself up to those relationships and learn. Let's learn how to build the bridge God's way. And I believe that he has a word for us today, and we're going to dive into that word together. Are you ready? All right, so if you would turn to Matthew 18, chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 35. And I have it up on the screen as well. You can follow along on your phone. And it says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused and went and put him into prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father would do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Here we have this parable that we just read together of a king who forgave a massive debt of a servant. And 10,000 talents to us today is equivalent to about $6 billion. And let me just, I need a moment. I can't grasp $6 billion within my reach. That is huge. I would be beside myself if someone said, "Here, that $6 billion, forgiven, slate washed clean." I would be so thankful. I would be like Oprah, "You get a shekel and you get a shekel. You get a shekel. Everybody be blessed," because I would be so grateful for what the king did. But that is not what the servant did. Verse 28 says that the servant whose debt was just forgiven turns around and refuses to forgive a debt of 100 denarii, which is about $12,000 in comparison to the $6 billion. And I'm thinking, I don't know about you, but I read that and I'm thinking, was he there? Did he forget that quickly what the king just did? I mean, did he comprehend that? This parable talks about the servant's unwillingness to forgive, even though he had been forgiven. It indicated that he did not comprehend, he did not grasp the forgiveness that was extended to him. If he had, he would have been willing to extend that same forgiveness to those around him. And this parable is important because God views our lack of forgiveness for one another the exact same way. In the same way that God forgave you and me and released us of our debt, we are to do the same thing. We are to freely forgive others, even if it's costly to us. And we know what it cost him. Even if it's costly to us, we have to freely forgive those who offend us. That means that we have to forgive the one who wronged us. We have to forgive the one who betrayed us, the one who broke our heart in a way that we thought that we couldn't bear. The offense that we thought that was an ultimate no-no, we have to forgive that. Why? Because God forgave you and he forgave me. And if we're going to begin to build the bridge, the first step is we must be obedient and choose to forgive. That's the first step. If we're going to build the bridge, we have to start by choosing to forgive. And I believe that forgiveness is a process. It's a big step that we're making when we're saying, "I'm choosing to let go of that." But there are three things that I think that are very important when we're walking through the process of forgiveness. The first one is we forgive a person, not an institution. Now, I don't know about you, and some of you may be like me, or you know someone who has been offended by someone in the church. And you'll hear them say, "Oh, I'm not going to church ever again. I'm not doing that." And they do like me, you distance yourself because that one person did something to you. But what we do, and I understand church hurt is, it's hard because you feel like that's your brothers and sisters in Christ and we're not supposed to do that to each other, but we're human and we mess up. But when we do that, when someone offends us, when a person offends us, what we do is we punish God and the entire church for what a person did instead of learning to deal with the offense and how to handle that person. And we can't do that. We must allow God to show us how to handle the person who offended us and not cut off cut off God and the entire church. Instead of shutting everyone in the church out, we must open ourselves up to new relationships and give people the benefit of the doubt and that they're not going to intentionally hurt you. In recent years, I found this out for myself, and I realized that the very thing that I was distancing myself from was the vehicle that God was using to bring healing. God created us for community, not isolation, meaning there's something that you can help me with, there's something I can help you with. It's a domino effect. The answer is not to avoid each other, avoid church, to isolate, silent treatment, or to bury what the pain that happened to us. That is not the answer. We must deal with the offense in a healthy way, and let's not punish God and the entire church for what a person did to us. The second thing that we must remember when we are walking through the process of forgiveness is we forgive persons for what they do to seriously wound us. I don't know about you, but have you ever had someone do something to you, it rubbed you the wrong way, and you're like, I can't quite figure out, put my finger, well, why that bothered me so bad? Or maybe someone did something to you and you think, I forgave them for that, but months later, maybe years down the road, you feel there are still remnants left. And you're like, I didn't forgive them of that. There's some still left there. Or maybe you're just like, you forgave, or you know someone who did say, I forgive them, but when they talk about it, you hear bitterness in their voice. Maybe, just maybe, we haven't allowed the process of forgiveness to take place in our hearts. Because once we understand why someone has done something to us, we can understand what was fully taken from us. This is why forgiveness is a process, because over time, I believe that God allows, he reveals the wound over time through life seasons or just as time goes on. That's why you begin to realize, wait a minute, that thing bothered me, because he reveals it to you over time. And that's why forgiveness is a process. But when this happens, when he reveals those things to us, we have to allow it to lead us to greater forgiveness. And I want to share a moment when I was 20 years old, I experienced what I thought was the most hurtful thing that I could ever imagine. And I'm one to get over things pretty quickly. And my sister and I joke all the time because we're totally opposites. She's like the sandbox at kindergarten. She remembers that you poked her in class, and she still remembers it to this day. But for me, I get over things very easily. I don't even remember. But this one thing that happened to me, I could not get over it. I could not shake it. And I remember as time going on, I just didn't think about it anymore. And I was sharing with Pastor Sean and the team one day this moment in my life where, as a testimony, where God allowed me to forgive. And we were sitting at a restaurant one day. We were doing something for the district. And Pastor Sean asked me about it. And he asked me about the incident because we were in that area where it happened. And I just began to talk to him about it. But I could hear the bitterness in my own voice. And it shocked me because I'm like, I dealt with that. I'm done with that. And I didn't say anything to them, although I'm sure they could hear it in my voice. So we left lunch that day. We went to the service, and I had to go to the church where this happened to me. And I sat there that day, the guest speaker, he was speaking. He wasn't talking about relationships. He wasn't talking about forgiveness. He wasn't talking about anything even near that. And he said one thing that resonated within my heart, and God showed me the area where I did not forgive, and I was harboring bitterness and unforgiveness. And I broke. I broke in that moment because once God showed me the area, I understood it. I understood why I heard that in my own voice. And I believe that God wants to do that for us today too. He wants you to understand the wound so that you can understand how you need to forgive it. If you don't understand what the person did, there's no way that you're going to be able to forgive it. Instead of holding on to unforgiveness, make sure you understand what the offender has done so that you can forgive it. If you don't forgive it, you don't understand it. The third thing that we must remember when we're walking through the process of forgiveness is when we forgive with mercy. I like to, when I think about forgiving and forgiving with mercy, I think about Joseph. And I like the story of Joseph because Joseph was a young boy who was favored by his father. You already know the story. But I like to say it's probably safe to say that Joseph was spoiled, or like we say in our house, well loved. But it's okay. You have one too. But they're well loved. And Joseph's brothers, they resented him and they conspired against him to kill him. And although they didn't kill him, they threw him in a pit and he was later sold into slavery. Now, I think about that for a moment because I'm thinking about here is a boy who was loved, I mean, who was well loved, spoiled rotten, and now he's in a moment where he's been betrayed by his own family. People that he loves and he probably trusted has now betrayed him, and he's alone and by himself. And I just think about what that must have felt like to be betrayed in that moment. Have you ever been betrayed by somebody that you loved and trusted? And so here we are. Joseph is on this unexpected journey, this long journey, and he is falsely accused of sleeping with Potiphar's wife, and he's put into prison. But because of that, fast forwarding, he interprets the dream of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and that leads him the opportunity to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, which leads him the opportunity to become governor over the land of Egypt. Now, we know that the famine is coming to the land and all that, and here Joseph is in charge of all of that. And who comes later to come and get food? His own brothers, the ones who betrayed him. And I'm thinking, okay, God, this is a heart moment. This is where you see where your heart really is. This is a moment for Joseph. He has a choice. Is he going to remember what his brothers did and repay them? He's like, food bank closed, no food for you today. Is he going to repay them for everything? And as a matter of fact, his brothers, when they discovered who he was, they were terrified that he was going to repay them. But instead, he answers by saying, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. What? He completely took the blame off of them. He didn't say, you did this, you put me in a pit. He had plenty of time to nurture an unforgiving spirit. He had plenty of time to process what they did to him. He didn't pinpoint. He didn't wallow in self-pity and bitterness. He didn't say, this is what you did, and that's why I'm here. But he saw the bigger picture. He saw that God turned something bad and used it for good. He knew that he needed to be in that moment at that time because they would need him. And he didn't take a chance to say, this is what you did. He extended mercy. He extended mercy. And I believe that because Joseph did not wallow in bitterness and self-pity, I believe that is why he had such a close relationship with God. I believe that's why the favor of God was on Joseph the entire way, because he never nurtured an unforgiving spirit. He always extended what he had the opportunity in that moment to extend mercy. And just like Joseph, we are to extend mercy and not allow unforgiveness to settle in our hearts. As the offended party, we have a responsibility to forgive, but to also extend mercy. Now, I don't know for you, when I was looking at forgiveness and mercy, I'm thinking, Lord, these are kind of close together for me. And I ran across something as I was studying that, and it says when we forgive, that means we recognize that some damage has been done, that the relationship needs to be built. And we may ask the offender to do some things. We may make some demands. We may ask them to do some things to help regain that trust. And that's all good, that we forgive them for that. But when we extend mercy, that means we forgive them, we make our demands, but we work alongside you to rebuild it. It doesn't mean that because you're the offender, you do all the work, it's all on you. That means I'm going to help you to rebuild it. I'm not going to put all the responsibility on you. It's a shared responsibility. You do your part, and I'm going to do my part. It's not all on the offender. That's extended mercy. And that we don't have to, right away, I want to make sure I emphasize this. When someone offends us, and we forgive and we extend mercy, it doesn't mean that they have our trust right away. It doesn't mean that things are going to be where they were before the offense happened. That will come over time. But it does mean that you won't be trapped in the past of because the unforgiveness that you're holding. Because forgiveness happens inside of you, the offended. So instead of staying trapped in the pain of what they did, ask God to show you how to release the hurt so that you can forgive and extend mercy. I understand that forgiving sometimes can be it's a very tough job, especially when you're talking about your heart. And when someone does something to you that's unpardonable and unbearable, when they break your heart in ways that you just can't bear, it's hard to let go. But God doesn't ask us to do anything that he didn't have to endure himself. Anything that he asks us to do, he gives us the strength to do it. And if I can just be transparent with you for just a few moments. 5 years ago when I came here broken and wounded. I came here hurting because of an incident that I explained earlier. 20 years old, I'm the pastor's kid, and here I am engaged to be married, but I'm pregnant with my oldest son. And the pain that I felt from the people that I trusted when they told me I had to hide for 9 months and that how dare I walk down the aisle being pregnant, that hurt. That it affected not just me, but it affected my entire family. And here I am at Cornerstone. I think I came here, how old did I say? I'm 39, 30, few years ago. And I'm still dealing with that from when I was 20 years old. I was still dealing with that. The day that Pastor Sean asked me that day in the restaurant, the Lord allowed me to see that I hadn't dealt with the shame that they caused, the embarrassment. For 9 months, I walked in shame, and even after my son was born, years after he was born, I was still embarrassed and still humiliated. I felt I was harboring unforgiveness because I felt that they robbed me of enjoying something that was supposed to be a gift. And so I was still holding on to that. And that day that we went into the service, and I had to walk in the very building where it happened, and I had to sit there with some of the people who were there when it happened, I broke, and I'm so glad that God revealed that to me of where I was still harboring that unforgiveness. Because a building that I had once sat in and felt humiliated and ashamed, God allowed me to walk out that night free. He allowed me to walk out that night free, and that was because I said yes to the process of forgiveness. I said yes to the process, and it was hard to let go because I was hurt in a way. And I still remember the pain of that, as you can see. But I was hurt by that, and it was hard to let that go. But I'm so glad that I can sit here in front of you, and I can experience joy in my relationships. I'm not fearful to be friends with somebody because I think they're going to break my heart. The what happened to me at 20 years old was still affecting me as I was here. And as I was in my car the other day, the Lord said, I want you to do something that you're asking everybody else to do. And that is, Pastor Sean and Brandon, why am I crying? Pastor Jason, the whole team, I need to ask for forgiveness from you because you loved me through a moment when I didn't trust you. I had that wall up with you guys. And I remember Brandon telling me, you got to give me the benefit of the doubt that I'm not going to hurt you. You got to give me the benefit of the doubt. I remember those conversations. And you guys, Cornerstone, the very people that I said, oh, I got to put up a wall up and I got to put my arm out and distance, you guys are the reason why I can stand up here and I can experience true relationships because you guys were a part of my healing. You were a part of my healing. And I believe today that God is saying, I don't want you to walk out of this building the same way that you came in. Maybe you're holding unforgiveness, and God is saying, I want you to walk out free, just like I did. And I have to tell you, I feel like a completely different person. I feel like a completely different person, and they tell me that all the time. It's like night and day. And I'm laughing and chuckling because I'm like, this is just me. Just releasing my hurt, releasing the you're wrong, and just allowing God to do what he needed to do in my heart. I feel like a completely different person. I feel free. And I don't know about you this morning. I don't know if someone has done something to you. There's someone who offended you in a way and broke your heart. But I'm telling you today, it's not worth holding on to. It's not worth holding on to. God wants you to be free today. And I want to ask Pastor Brandon to come up. I don't know how much time we have. But I want us to take a moment for God to work on our hearts this morning. And if you would just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. And allow God to show you that person that you need to forgive. Maybe there's a wound that you didn't quite understand. Maybe someone rubbed you the wrong way and you didn't quite get it. And you're like, God, I need to understand it so I can forgive it. Or maybe you need to ask the Lord to help you to release the hurt, to release the debt, so that you can forgive and extend mercy. This morning, Father, we give you our hearts this morning. We give you those areas that we're still dealing with hurt and we're still harboring unforgiveness and bitterness. Lord, we give that to you today. And I just pray for my brothers and my sisters here today, God, that those who have walked in feeling like they were the offended party and someone has done something to them to hurt them, God, and they haven't been able to get over that. Lord, I just pray right now that you would just release them, that you would allow them to just to let that go, that they would know that you've given them so much more than anybody can ever take away from them. And that you want them to walk out of this building free today. So, Father, we just thank you this morning for your word, Lord. And we choose to take the first step in our relationships, the relationships that have been damaged and broken, and we choose to forgive today. We choose to forgive today. So as Pastor Brandon leads us in this song, I just want to give you a moment for God to work in your heart and to show you those things that, those areas that you've been wounded or the person that you need to forgive this morning. And I encourage you not to leave the same way that you came in.